Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q1 2018 results conference call for Neinor Homes. The presentation today will consist of the following. Juan Pelaez, the CEO, will present the results for the first three months of 2018 while providing the outlook for the business. Following that, our CFO, Jordi Argemí, will present the financial overview in detail. The team presentation will be followed by a questions and answer session. There will be live questions for those of you that dial into the provided conference call number. As usual, you will be able to submit questions at any time during the presentation through the Submit a Question to the Presenter window in the webcast application. I remind you that this webcast is recorded and will be available within the next two days for replay for up to 12 months. Additionally, within the next few days, a transcript of this conference call will also be available for you to download. Juan, let us begin.
Thank you, Juan. Thank you everybody for attending this call. First thing, apologies for my voice. I have a tough cold or sore throat, I think, but hopefully I will be able to keep with sufficient voice for the next hour. Regarding the Q1 summary, the executive summary of what has been going on in this intense quarter for the company. I think, hopefully you will read the same way, that are good news, what we are going to present today. First, regarding 18 deliveries. You know perfectly, we announced what is 1,000 and everything is on track. We will go further on in a second, but the 14 sites that we plan to deliver are scheduled to be delivered. 19, we mentioned our target to deliver 2,000 units. You remember that at that momentum, there were some licenses pending, and I can say today that everything is on track. All the deliveries have been received. All the sites are today work in progress, and we will go zooming in a second into it. 2020, 2021 run rate. All the actions have been implemented, and we have today good visibility about 2020. 5,500 units have been launched, and almost 5,000 units, 4,900, the licenses have been already submitted. We'll go into zooming in a second. The revenues continues being very strong. We have high visibility on our revenue line. Our order book is today of 828 million. This Q1, we have pre-sold 100 above our BD, and today, almost 2,500 families have already trust in Neinor Homes. The visibility on the pre-sales in 2018 and 2019, really high. 90% on 2018 and controlling ourselves the 10% remaining, and 60% on 2019. Operations. I will try today to give you visibility and help you to touch what's going on in this company on the operational side, on construction. 40 sites under construction, 430 million of CapEx contracted, and 1% below budget on aggregate basis. Today, I'm going to be, let's see if I'm successful, to let you understand better what's going on in our operational perspective. Margin, duly protected. The visibility on these 44 sites that we had at the IPO, it was at 26% gross margin in these sites. Today, we are in at 28%. We will zoom in into that gross margin to let you know how we are seeing HPA and how we are in our cost side. Hopefully, you will be happy with our explanations. Last but not least, and one of the intense words of this Q1, land bank. Very important message. This company is fully focused on fully permitted land, and I want to emphasize this concept. We have bought three land plots, fully permitted, 120 units that are ready to build, and we have been able to control 1,400 units, and including a deal of Cypre, located in the best locations, I will zoom in, that will be bought by Neinor when they are fully permitted. These are the first opportunistic strategic land transactions. I'm going to try to give you details to understand perfectly these significant three transactions that we have been able to close successfully this quarter. So with this zoom in, let's try to zoom in into operations. Let's try to give color about what's going on regarding 18, 19, and 20. And I'm going to try to, I will pray you to try to jump into appendix and into slides. In slide number 6, you have our deliveries for 18. 1,000 units, it's a little bit more than that. In H1, we plan to deliver 250. We have not delivered in Q1, so here you will not see anything in our P&L. We have delivered the first one in April. We plan to deliver 3 more in June. All of them are now in the process of in the paperwork, so planned to be delivered as promised. And with an intense jump to be completed in H2 for the 769 units. Some of you have been visiting some of them these last weeks. All of them planned to be delivered on time. Pre-sales 90%. We are just selecting when and how to sell the remaining 10% of the best units that we have in each and every of these 14 land plots. You see in the map where they are located. You see a lot of activity going on in the north of Spain. You see significant activity going on in Catalonia and also in the central region with the two first deliveries. The degree of completion, one is finished and already notarized in April. The other 13 are just in the finishing phase works, certificates of final works to be obtained with the municipalities. So if no surprises, we have the works are done. 19. First good, strong message. The licenses that you know that is one of the things that it's not fully our under control, all of them obtained. All the works going on. That means 31 sites today contracted, planned, and agreed to be delivered on 2019, including San Just and Alborada that have been initiated in April. The contract signed with the construction companies are very clear that delivery is about 19. Intense year, a lot of work to be done, but everything on track. The pre-sales visibility, we will zoom in a second, it's 60%, really comfortable, we will discuss now, but trying to be maximizing our revenue line, our HPA in the remaining 40% of these units with still 18, 20 months in front of us. You see the zoom in the map of Spain of each and every site. You see that 21, 29, because just to be really disciplined with the Q1, you have to add these two that have begun on April, San Just and Alborada, and you begin to see that our activity continues very strong in the north, continues very strong in the east, begins to be very strong in the center and begins to be strong in the south. Quite proud, we will jump in, and I'm not going to stop to not make this very long, but I would pray if you can spend some seconds in slides 26 onwards, you have a photo of each and every site, where the construction is, how it's the percentage of WIP of progress, what's the percentage of pre-sales, and what's the exact momentum that we have divided it into initial works, foundations, structural works, or facade works. You see where it's everyone. We will help you to monitor and track each of these sites every quarter, and we will pray and insist, and this is going to be one of the last things that I will do today, that you come to see what's going on. 2021, I'm in slide number 8. Key actions for on-time delivery implemented. I think it's an important and a strong message that I want to send. 5,500 units have already been launched with 36 months ahead of the planned delivery. We have licenses already of 4,900 units. You see in the graph that 79, one of them has been already, it's already under construction, but if we include April, two of them, almost 250 plus units already obtained, and we begin works immediately. We have also tried to zoom in about how, what's the timing for these licenses. You see that 3,700 have less than 4 months since they were submitted to the municipalities. 1,100 are 4 to 8 months. Two of these, by the way, have already been obtained, are these two that I have just mentioned. And only one, 100 units in Córdoba, that is more than 8 months, hopefully will be coming soon. A lot of work done in this sense, a lot of actions implemented, and with sufficient comfort and visibility for the on-time delivery of 2020. We have also implemented all, each and every efficiency matter that we have considered necessary. All the design efficiencies are already implemented to our white paper. The privilege of having 44 to 46 sites going on have helped us a lot. And all the construction ratios are already updated, and each and every tender that we are now going to the market is coming on budget. We are going to see that in a second with further detail. 50 sites going on. If you put together anything that I have been expecting, this company, the next site that is beginning in April means site number 100. This company is close to the run rate from an operational perspective. By far, the two-year first mover advantage with the pros and the cons, but this is one of the clear pros of it. And another important or very important message about this quarter: units under commercialization. Tremendously intense quarter with 1,000 units that have arrived to the market this quarter, and with 3,000 units that will come to the market within the following months, with a very intense Q2. The company today is just arriving to the market and to our natural markets and to new markets, as I'm going to explain in a second, and you will see in the next slide. Our revenue line, I would say, continues the market, fueling, supporting, and very strong. Today, this company has 4,000 units under commercialization, and 3,000 will be coming. We have been able to pre-sale 98 million in this Q1. Our all pre-order book is today 2,500 families, and our average sales price today is 332,000 euros per apartment. 80% of these pre-sales are already in private contract, really strong. And I have wanted even to emphasize that we have had 32 cancellations. And if I have to be honest, legally, no one has the right to recover a euro, but we have facilitated significant number of these cancellations. The cumulative price increase in these cancellations, in these sites where the cancellations have taken place, it's 10%. So even cancellations today are helping us. We have included, and we began last quarter to disclose the observed HPA. Remember that this is just a metric that hopefully helps you. Has nothing to do with our numbers that we will just discuss in a second, but it's the sample of those units that we can compare apples to apples and that have been sold Q1 17 to Q1 18. The sample in this quarter that we have been able to put together has been in 9 different sites and has been an 8.1%. The HPA, very supportive. I want to zoom in afterwards in the gross margins, that giving you more color on it. But basically, the message is that the HPA is very strong, and I would not take it for granted, please. But you see that in the north and in the southwest, it's including surprisingly strong. I want to see it as our G-Wheels entails a strategy that begins to cut effects, but don't take it for granted for the future. But basically, the message is HPA, helpful and supportive. We have already spoken about our visibility of 90% in 18. We are trying to optimize revenue. We are trying to sell this last 10% quite close to deliveries. And so we are now monitoring, depending when the delivery is, how in the last 3 months, 4 months, how we are selling the last and hopefully the best units. Today, I'm in the graph in the right, in the top and in the bottom of the page. 60% of our stock is pre-sold. This will change. Obviously, new product is coming to the market, so this 60% is going to go down in following quarters. You see Levante, Southeast, and Southwest that are significantly below, basically because they are arriving to the market significantly later than the other three regions where we have presence, as we have seen before, for more time. Slide 10, construction. I would like to send some solid messages about our operational capacity. The first one is that 44 plus 2, if we have these two that has begun in April, nobody, I think, has the same construction activity in this country today. Everything is on track. We are working with 27 different construction companies. One of them, only one of them in one specific site has been replaced. Our concentration risk in our clear disciplined strategy, we want to be quite limited. We have one construction company that obviously is outperforming with 5 sites, but not more. And one and two of them, obviously those that are outperforming, because we begin to know which ones are outperforming and which ones are not, with 3 sites. But 15 companies have still 1 site, and 9 of them will still with 2 of them. The bottleneck the funnel begins to apply, as we have always explained. This 1% below budget of our 430 million, we have wanted to zoom in about which of them are below budget, 35 of them, and which of them are above budget. All of them afterwards net from a gross margin perspective, as I explained now, from the HPA perspective, but here, obviously, you have those companies that will not repeat with us and have some of the leaders. But basically, on budget, I'm going to zoom in a little bit more with the gross margin analysis, and I think that the construction is one of our strong capacities. Gross margin. In the 44 sites that are on WIP, basically 18 and 19 deliveries, we were planning at the IPO a 26% gross margin. Today we are planning a 28% gross margin. This is basically 20 million extra absolute gain, and it's a combination of basically 22 million HPA and 2 extra costs on the construction. This is basically the 20 million extra gross margin that we have in those 18 and 19 delivery sites. You can have the reaction to say, if you have mentioned this 8% HPA, why it's this 20 million? Basically, because if you remember, when we were at the IPO, our visibility on the 18 pre-sales was very high, roughly 70%, and we had significant visibility on 19%. So obviously, we have been able to capture those 20 million on the last 30% of 18, on the last 20%, because we have still 10% per sale, and in the remaining 20% of 19. So this is, I think, hopefully you will read it as very good news. The sales price are outstripping clearly the cost inflation. And last but not least, and prior to zooming into the land bank and the land acquisition program, we continue buying land above our LTIPO expectations. In the fully permitted land, it's true that it's not very significant. In April, we will come with more. Has been a 25% plus gross margin against the 24, but we are speaking about very small sites this time, 3 land plots, 120 units, like we'll discuss in a second. But this strategic land approach secures us future pipeline at a 28% plus gross margin, and I remember that I only buy it when it's fully permitted. I zoom in a second. Let's jump into our fully permitted land, into our land. The focus, fully permitted. What have we bought? Three specific land plots, one in the north, one in the Levante region in Valencia, the other one in Ibiza, that is the execution of a call option that we already had, with solid gross margins of 25% plus, give us this extra 120 units, and hopefully in Q2 we'll come with some more that we are now closing in April. Regarding strategic lands, first concept, this gives us visibility 22 onwards. It's land plots that should be fully permitted. You know that the visibility on timings in non-fully permitted land is not tremendously certain in Spain, but on or around 2020. So we are seeing that these are sites to be delivered 22, 23, 24. We are able to control them with an escrow deposit with a payment of 17 million that gives us the right to buy this 194 million, this 1,400 units, once they are fully permitted. We have been able to buy them from different sellers. We have worked a lot on this. We have private sellers, we have bank sellers, and we have investors. You have a zoom in the appendix that hopefully will help you to understand each and every plot. I'm more than happy to have any session that you want if you want to understand it. The land plots are located in Madrid, in Barcelona, in the north, in Bilbao, the middle of Bilbao, and in Marbella. So excellent plots, future visibility on our pipeline, 28% plus gross margins. Really happy with the team, with the work that the team has done to close these deals. Finally, ancillary businesses, and I see that my voice begins to be worse. The legacy, 7.5 million sales, 12% gross margins. We continue with the idea of continue accelerating, so probably prepared to revise prices to sell the remaining 10%, these final tails of this portfolio. So I'm anticipating that I'm seeing that prudently, but we want to accelerate to continue selling, but prudently we will continue showing, and I'm not seeing, don't take for granted, please, this 12%. Gross margin of Q1. Actually, we have the remaining 77 million to finish and liquidate the portfolio. And the servicing continues being very strong. 4.4 EBITDA in Q1, 59% margin. Our relationship with the bank continues being excellent by any means, including the strategic land that we have just discussed. And we continue having this 1.5 billion euros. One data that I think it's important, the company with these 100 sites going on, I would say that from a team perspective, we are done. Our 246 people that we are today in this company, it's split in 70 people are servicing Cuchabank, and 170 people each focused in our core business. And obviously, the remaining legacy is done by the team, with a limited team, that I put that into the 70 people of our servicing team. So, Jordi, why you don't show that prior to that last message that I link to the financial statements, important message, during the last months that we have been speaking with a lot of you, this has been a recurrent question, and it's about funding. How we are going to fund our base case business plan, or what are the plans of the company from a balance sheet perspective. The base case that we have is fully financed, is self-financed. We have included here that hopefully will give color to you our cash-ins and our cash-outs, having these cash-ins coming basically from the development, but also from this remaining legacy stock and the servicing, will be 165 in 18 and 355 in 19, all in 100 million plus. And what we plan is that what we know is basically because we anticipated the job of the land acquisition program from 18 to 17 to fuel in completely our base case, we need to buy another extra 2,000 units between 18 and 19. We plan to buy 80 million this year and 150 next year. This gives to fuel in absolutely all our base case, 3,500 units. And we also plan to repay all the debt that is not strictly linked to our development activity. And that means that we are going to repay the JP Morgan, the Bank Inter, and the Sabadell corporate loans that we have in. And hopefully, the sooner, the better. We want to continue being tremendously disciplined from a debt perspective. You see our peaks in debt that will be 19 with 650 million, but 30% LTVs with no corporate debt on it, and just focus on our CapEx and development financing. You see that in that graph that we have included, that you know that the servicing basically covers or nets our overheads and personal costs with this 25 million, and this gives us a comfortable self-finance business plan with extra cash of 50 million. You have asked a number of times about equity or debt. Execution is now priority. Execution is a must. And now, after you have fully comfort, because we are, and when you are that, we will reconsider anything. But today, no equity, no debt. Just it's about execution and a self-finance plan, business plan. Hopefully, that comfort will be sooner than later. Because I want to say that the management conviction is very clear that this company is designed and prepared to achieve more ambitious goals. Once you are convinced of it, and now we need to demonstrate this execution, will be time to consider anything else. So, Jordi, why you don't go through financials, and I try to recover a little bit my voice.
Thank you, Juan. As in every webcast, I will cover the three financial statements, and then I will zoom into the net debt position. Before going to the P&L, let me short one main message. Q1 is the last quarter where ancillary businesses represent most revenues. Deliveries of the development business will start in Q2 and will end the year with 1,000 units that will represent revenues of around 300 million euros. Having said that, let's go to the P&L for Q1. Some key messages. The whole P&L aligned with expectations, but let's consider that Q1 should only represent roughly 5% of the targets for 2018. We have closed Q1 with revenues of 19 million euros, and out of these 19 million euros, legacy represents 8 million if we consider the sales of non-current assets, and has recorded a positive gross margin slightly above 10%. As Juan has just commented, we cannot expect this margin for the 77 million euros of the book value left, and given that this is the last part of the legacy portfolio, we could expect future price reviews to accelerate the rhythm of the sales. Servicing represents 7.5 million euros, and given that this is a very stable contract, these results of Q1 shows the capacity of the company to reach the annual target of 30 million euros of revenues and the EBITDA margin of 50 to 60% promised to the markets at the IPO. And development, our core business, 4 million euros, that corresponds to the developments partially delivered at the end of Q4 2017. Basically, 14 units with an implicit gross margin of 31%. So, the overall gross margin has increased from 27% in 2017 full year to 51% in Q1. This relevant increase is due to the weight of the servicing business in Q1 results. So, as a result of this, gross margin will be decreasing along the year once the legacy is sold and once the units of the development are delivered.
This results to a negative operating EBITDA of 2.7 million euros and a negative EBITDA adjusted of 5.4 million euros once the annual provision for the property tax is deducted. Remember from last year that according to the International Financial Reporting Standards, we have to record the 1st of January a provision equivalent to the full year property tax expense. And finally, financial cost of 2.3 million euros, which implies a loss for Q1 of 7.9 million euros. On top of this, the official P&L includes the management incentive plan for an amount of roughly 1 million euros. And remember, as always commented, that this incentive plan is fully paid by Lone Star. Moving on to the cash flow statement, three critical messages. The first one is that we have closed the quarter with a neutral cash flow from operating activities, only minus 3 million euros, which goes obviously in line with our operating EBITDA that we have just commented. Second message is the negative free cash flow of 56 million euros. And two concepts behind this negative free cash flow. One of them is the CapEx, 54 million euros, and it is increasing given the construction activity has picked up in 44 sites. And the second concept is the land acquisition of 55 million euros, which we should be linked to the change in deferred land debt of 36 million euros. So we are focused on maximizing the equity optimization in the land acquisitions. And the last concept, the third message in the cash flow statements, negative net cash flow of 14 million euros negative. Regarding the balance sheet, it continues being very strong and healthy. The only change since the end of 2017 is the increase in the development inventories of roughly 100 million euros, and this is due to the CapEx and the land acquisitions that we have just commented. And as a brief summary of the balance sheet, we have assets of 1.3 billion euros, equity of 0.7 billion euros, and total liabilities of 0.6 billion euros. Development stock is the main caption with 1.2 billion euros, representing roughly 85% over the total balance sheet. And the critical comment here is that more than 75% of this stock is active. And last concept in the balance sheet is the working capital. It has increased by 50 million euros compared to December 2017. And finally, let's dip into the net debt position for the year end. We have closed with 441 million euros of net debt, 59 million euros above December 2017. And again, two concepts behind this increase. One of them is the deferred payment of the strategic land, which represents 36 million euros. And the second concept is the use of the JP Morgan Bridge loan for the land acquisitions of this Q1. This represents roughly 20 million euros. So, as a result, we continue with healthy leverage ratios and very similar to the ones that we show in December 2017. LTV of roughly 24% and loan to cost of 33%. And last comment from my side. We are and we will continue being disciplined from a leverage perspective, as Juan has just commented. And actually, we have voluntarily capped the bridge loan limit at 110 million euros.
Thank you, Jordi. Let's try to cover two other important concepts that we want to transmit to you today. The first one is about non-financial reporting, that you know that we include on a slide every quarter. I think that this Q1 has had a significant event that I want just to dedicate a second. And afterwards, I will try to do the break that I have just anticipated a little bit before. No? Regarding this event has been, you know, that as a consequence of our results and our last few presentation, not really successful, we have today a bar capital partner with a 28% in our shareholding structure. They requested two members at our board level. They were appointed in the general shareholder meetings, and they had the presence yesterday on our board that was approving the Q1 results and this report to the market. Two or three messages on this side. The first one is that more than welcomed from the management perspective. The second is that they have emphasized their long-term view, and they have won, well, it's a question for them, their full support to the strategy and to the management and to the company. And the third message is that as a very disciplined in governance company that we are and we want to be, they are fully committed with the rules of governance of Neinor as a best-in-class public markets company. There are other messages about what has been going on from a non-financial reporting. I don't want to dedicate much more time. We continue being tremendously focused in our digital transformation. The company is beginning to, we manage today 2,500 families. We plan to deliver 1,000 homes this year, 2,000 next year, and much more on run rate basis. And the company believes and it's investing time and money in our digital transformation that begins to have very clear milestones obtained. And last message, in slide 23, we plan and we want to announce it with time. We have tried to think in some data that are easy for you because that not converge with a very significant number of results presentations and so on, but we are planning for the last week of September, for September 24th, a site tour, planning during a week that you obviously you can just try to go 1, 2, 3, or 4 days to visit each and every site, each and every work in progress. In September, you will be touching the deliveries of 2018. You will be touching the progress in all the 19 deliveries. We will visit these strategic lands that we have just bought. We can visit also the next launches if we want. We would like to try to emphasize and that you touch. I think some of you have been the last weeks visiting some of our works, and I think that the best way to really see what's going on, the activity that we have, and our operational capacity is visiting our work in progress. I think that those of you that have done it, I think that are really impressed about it. So please, if you can manage it, we are going to organize it. Our team, Juan and the team, will contact you with the exact dates, and we have announcing it with a sufficient time in order that you can put that in, pencil that in your agendas. So with that, Juan, thank you very much.
So thanks, Juan. Thanks, Jordi. Operator, we can now open the line and you can signal people how they can ask for that turn to ask questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We'll now take our first question from Flora Trindade of Caixa Bank, BPI. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good morning. Thank you very much. My first question is on slide 14. You mentioned their debt for 2018 of 450 million. Can you give us the bridge to reach that level of debt, considering the 441 you had at the end of March? And then the second question is on the legacy business. Can you be a bit more specific on what kind of sales and margins are you expecting, considering the comments you made during the call? And then finally, on deliveries, in especially in 2018, considering the stock concentration you have in the fourth quarter of the year, how do you see the risks of potential delays in first occupation license? Is there something that worries you or not really? Can you just explain us your thoughts on this? Thank you.
Absolutely. Jordi, can you go with the debt, please?
Absolutely. If you look at the 85 million euros of the corporate and land debt that has to be repaid this year, basically this is 60 million euros of corporate debt that basically comes from Bankinter, that we expect to repay completely the facility. It is due in January, but obviously this is the beginning of January of 2019, and we assume the repayment during 2018. Mm-hmm. And the remaining part, which is 25 million euros, is basically land debt that is tied to the deliveries that we expect for this year, these 1,000 units.
Okay. Regarding legacy, obviously these are the 75 last million of a portfolio of 650 million. And so by definition, we are in the less liquid product. Okay. What we are seeing is that at the current prices, I think that 7.5 million is not sufficient rhythm. Yeah? So we want to speed up. I think that we are very clear on that, that we want to get rid of this legacy, but we are not going to be also, we are not going to turn crazy. Okay? So what we are doing is revisiting prices, I would say tranche per tranche, and to see how the rhythms are accelerated. From the book values, bills, that it's where we are on all around, I think that we are, the first approval that I'm doing is what a 5% in those product that has been less liquid, and let's see how we accelerate rhythms. No? At the end of the day, basically, what I'm seeing is that the 75% is going to be tough. I'm going to see, I want to turn that 75 million, whatever it is, into cash to buy additional land. So I'm ready to be below book values. I'm not ready to do nothing crazy because it makes no sense. What does it mean to give you color in my numbers, in my BPs, 15 million below book values, 10 million, 50 million below book values? I'm prepared to see if the readings are correct. Does it allow it to be on a quarter-per-quarter basis where we are? We will disclose very quickly. We want to liquidate and we are not going to turn crazy. Yeah? I cannot give you a better color. My idea is ideally to have this liquidated at the end of the year. I'm not prepared to have it liquidated with a very significant, this is well underwritten, okay? And we know that this cash, I prefer it to have it invested into land, but not getting crazy. How will it be? Let's monitor it quarter per quarter. I'm seeing that the activity is going it's more dynamic after this new repricing that we have done in April and May. So hopefully the number will continue going down. Honestly speaking, this is as I am today, quarterly by quarter, depending on the readings of sales of this last 10% of the portfolio, we will be authorizing new repricings. Last comment, deliveries, occupation licenses. How do I answer it? We will make it happen, okay? It's our headaches, ordinary course of business. Yes. Everything on track? Yes. Discussing with each and every municipality already today, for all of them. So hopefully, I think the short answer is we will make it happen. Okay, intense management, a lot of work to do, but it will happen.
Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Jose Cravo of Santander. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Three questions, if I may. First question is just a clarification. The progress that you show of works on the Appendix 6 is at the end of March, correct? And if that is correct, by the beginning of May, do you have any more 2018 delivery that is already finished? That would be my first question. My second question, it's with regard to strategic land acquisitions. Overall, I think there is very little detail on this, and I would like, for instance, to know the CapEx requirements for this non-fully permitted land, and as well as the variation buildability that you mentioned on one of the land plots that you mentioned over or around 50%. My third question is with regards to pre-sales. If I'm not mistaken, I mean, you had a target of 750 million euros for the year. You've done already 100 million euros. I understand that you have a lot of units getting into commercialization, but you mentioned that you have around 1,500 units to sell to reach this 650 million for your annual target. This is an implicit price of around 433,000 euros. Could you comment on that, please? Thank you.
One one per one. Okay. Yes, you are correct. The development activity that we are presenting here is at the end of Q1. Obviously, in all these deliveries, every month now it's changing dramatically, because you know that the numbers that we include here are against the certificates that the construction companies present to us that are at the end of the month. So the short answer to the question is all of them are significantly above the numbers presented here. We have already one of them that you have in the photo, the first one on the north, Urdulit has been already delivered. So we have recorded all of them. It's 36 units, 32 have been recorded, and if I'm right, tomorrow we have the last four registrations, and the three that are prepared for June are on track. So I would say everything it has evolved since Q1 until where we are today. One delivered, three of them with the now interacting for the signature of the significant certificates of final of works, and all the paperwork with the notary public already going on. The second question in connection with the strategic, you made two questions. In connection with the first one, the CapEx urbanization works, it's on the seller side. So we should go zoom in one per one, and we can do, if you want, even a session, just to see which CapEx, I would say for construction, but the first thing is that we are in the most significant part of these deals, we are buying the sites with urbanization costs, but it's not in each and every one. So probably it's helping that we can do even a session just zooming in into every specific, because there are very different situations on that. The important message here is that from a planning perspective is what we call, this is timing risk. We are not taking political risk. So the visibility that we have in each and every of these sites, it's quite clear. You know that I have to say quite, because this is zoning, and in Spain zoning, it's never clear enough. The only clear thing that we have is that we will only buy it when it's fully permitted. And if it's not the case, my money is back. So this is what I have clear on it.
The second point, Jose, that you mentioned on the, it was a point about one specific deal, which is you can cancel that transaction, that you don't do it if there is a variation of plus or minus 50% on the set buildability or the buildable area. So it's not for all of the transactions. Okay,
clear.
And the third question was about the pre-sales, the number of pre-sales. Obviously, the number of pre-sales, two different comments on it. We have sold what is 100 million roughly. It's significantly above what we were planned for Q1. It's basically a 20%+ more than we planned in Q1. That was 75 million, our initial plans. Now, obviously, product begins to arrive. We have a very clear strategy. This is important. That and we have three very critical momentums. The pre-sales that we need to obtain the CapEx. You remember that roughly 30% that we need to pre-sale just to be in a position to have a license. So you should see good rhythms of pre-sales in connection with all the product that is coming under commercialization as we speak, these 1,000 units that have come and more than 2,000 units roughly that will come in, that you will see in Q2. So we want good rhythms until 30%. Afterwards, we want to play the HPA, and we want to align perfectly the rhythms of sales with the timing of the works. So the rhythms of sales should come after, once we have the license and we have the CapEx financing, should slow down. And keeping the last and best units to be very close or even with delivery. So to do your number, that is the number that you have just doing in a second about the average price, we have to do it together, but I think that and let's try to do it together, but it's a combination of a different factors.
Okay, Juan, but you maintain your target of 750 million euros for 18 of pre-sales.
it will should be a little bit lower than that if we do our job in the best manner from a strategic perspective. It's not going to be, should not be very different. Eh? A little, my number in the top of my head is a little bit lower than that, okay? But let's see, it's going to be aligned, but a little below the number that you say that, if we do our best in class job capturing HPA. Having said that, if you work with a 700 number in the top of your head, I think that you are more aligned. Because I'm not going to lose HPA or sacrifice HPA because it makes no sense. Okay, it makes no sense. The 90% I would prefer to be today with 75% pre-sales in 18 than with 90%, if I'm honest, taking into consideration the HPA, the extra HPA that I'm capturing.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Sam Thomas of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gents. Apologies, I think I've got four if I can, please. The first one's just on build cost inflation. I think you mentioned on slide 8 that you have, there's a comment saying you've upgraded construction cost ratios. Just be interested for you to elaborate on what exactly you mean by that and what you've done there. And if you can just confirm again what the build cost inflation assumption is that you're now using. That's the first one. Second one really is just to sort of push on the legacy division. Can you provide a bit more detail, please, in terms of what you're actually seeing in regards to the demand for these assets? I think you mentioned, Juan, that the sort of you'd be willing to accept a 10 to 15 million discount on the 75, meaning sort of around 16-17% price decline. I mean, is that what you're experiencing in the market for these less liquid assets? And then just on that, could you remind us of the main sites that comprise the remaining sort of 78 million book value and also confirm that you plan to dispose of all of these by 2018? And then the third one is really on the slide 14, the cash flow chart. It looks as though based on the chart, you're able to self-fund the land acquisition through to 2022, which leaves you with that 50 million euros excess cash at the end of 2019, if I'm reading that properly. But it looks as though you're including legacy sales within that cash generation. So I'm just interested to know what sales price assumptions you've made on those legacy sales. I mean, have you assumed that you can sell the assets at that book value, or have you factored in that margin erosion you mentioned earlier? And then the last one, last but not least, is just on strategic land. Just interested to know, is there any overage booked into the contract, or does that 194 million capture the entire cost of the acquisition? Thank you.
Really good questions. Regarding cost inflation and what you said and the comment that we have done, we mentioned that what happened at the momentum of maximum, that we were launching a significant number of sites in basically 17, some of them when they were arriving to us, when we tendered, you know, with our very strict process, we had inviting our 6 construction companies, and when they were coming back, sometimes was above the budget that we had planned, okay? So through design efficiencies, through the learnings of 100 sites that we have now on the market, we have been able to just think about all those things that allow us to have that on budget. So it's a combination of efficiencies that we have included in our design process together, and answering your question, what cost inflation we are assuming on that. In a very strict apples-to-apples exercise, I would be comfortable if you have if you are in that range of 2.5% would be a number that if you want to just a very short answer to what I'm seeing in a very apples-to-apples exercise, okay? But the combination of having the construction rations very clear, having the optimization of the designing of our product, the one that allows us to maximize more HPA, because we are seeing in a number of sites that being a little bit more aggressive from a cost perspective and with a small details of better product allow us to capture much more HPA, depending on the areas. So it's a combination. But if you want a fair, strict answer to include in your numbers and in your assumptions, I would say that 2-2.5% assumption, I think that would be good. Okay. Regarding legacy, the very straight number, and don't take it from an operational and management perspective, but if you want an answer to your cash flow, okay, we have included from the legacy 50 million in a conservative approach in the numbers that we are presented here in this slide. Okay, I'm not prepared to take that, but this is the number that I have included to present you a prudent number from a cash flow from the legacy. Okay, 50 million. Okay, what we are going to do is we are going to monitor it quarter per quarter. It's not a big deal, honestly. I will have to decide at the year end if I am prepared to be a little bit more aggressive and get rid of it, or probably just to continue with the natural flow of sales if I have remaining 15, 20 minutes. What kind of product is that you were the question that you had? Basically, I would say 50% it's finished product, resi, located in the south of Spain and in the north of Spain. It flows in a natural way, obviously less liquid, but quite comfortable. The other 50% of the product, basically it's more garage, parkings, commercial lots. That's the ones that need a little bit more effort, okay? But it will be continue flowing. Honestly speaking, it's the least of my headaches, but I want to speed up a little bit and I want to convert that into cash, not doing nothing crazy. Okay, but here you have the answer in the strict numbers with the conservative, just to be prudent in the number, but the strategy as we're planning to implement it within the following months. And regarding the strategic land, the answer is no. I mean, that's the number. I mean, it's very clear. It has to be fully permitted. There are not high extra price that we have to pay. On the contrary, I think that we have been tremendously disciplined just to, because some of these assets could have some reduction or increase in the buildable area, and we have been tremendously that then the price should be adapted or cutted if we don't have the surface or the buildable area that we have in each specific plot. There's a lot of work here. There's an exceptional work of the team trying to convince a bank, an investor, family on the basis of exceptional lands. Where we have identified exceptional land, we have tried to begin to educate and convince the sellers that these deals make a lot of sense and that will be there. But the answer clearly no, that's the price.
Great, thank you. That's very clear, much appreciated.
Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Michael Burt of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Two questions from me, please. The first is just on your guidance on run rate for the business. You've talked about your comfort around 4,000 units for 2020. Should we think about 3,500 units, which seems to be the guidance for 2021, 2022, as more of a kind of medium-term aspiration for the run rate in the company? And then the second question is just another one looking at the cash flow projections on slide 14. From what I can see, that doesn't include dividend payments. And I think at the time of IPO, you'd been guiding to making a first dividend payment in 2019. I was just wondering if you still think of that as being the case, or maybe the dividend payments may be delayed into 2020. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The two questions, okay? In connection with the first one, the base case that you have here as we speak today, okay, with this self-finance plan and with the cash flows that you have just mentioned in slide 14, is 3,500. Having said that, being very transparent and being very honest, hopefully execution, conviction, and the market will bring us to our more ambitious goals. So for me to say today that the run rate of this company is 3,500, the answer is no. I hope that once conviction is back and once execution is out of any discussion, this company should be thinking about something different, okay? That's as I'm seeing today. But the self-finance business plan that you have in front of you is that, And the other point that Jordi has said, and I emphasize again, the equity that we are going to, that we have for fully permitted land, we are beginning to optimize it. Okay, so let's see how with this 80 million that you have in that cash flow for acquisitions of fully permitted in this year. Let's see. We need 2,000 units to be in a position to deliver 3,500 in 21 and 22, 2,200. My goal, but this is my goal, don't take it please for granted today, is to be able to control much more than those 2,500 units if we are able to optimize our equity. In April, we will show two deals with very clear equity optimization in fully permitted land. No? So I don't want to say that that's my goal because this company is not designed for that. Okay. And regarding the cash flows, the dividends are planned 2020 onwards. So obviously the numbers that you see here for the ramp up do not plan a dividend in 18 and 19. We are going to be positive both years, 18 and 19, but the dividends are planned for 2020. Hopefully. I think it's important, and it's a comment. The decisions today in Neynor are even more dividend driven. Okay, even more. We know that this company wants to be very strong from a dividend perspective. And this HPA optimization that we are thinking about, knowing that we want to have very solid and strong rhythms of pre-sales that leverage risk, you know, the risk our company, but we are dividend driven. But no, the numbers that you have in front of you do not include dividends.
Great. Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Ami Galla of Citi. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just three questions for me, please. My first question is on the cancellation rates. Could you give us some color at what stage in the process did they arise? Was it at the time of signing contracts or really closer to deliveries? My second question is on customer feedback that you've received on the pre-sales that you've taken so far. Was there any adverse response from customers on any construction delays that came in place because of procurement of licenses? And my third question is if you could just remind us the sort of timelines that you're budgeting for construction and notarization here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The third one is about the CapEx, no? Okay. In connection with the cancellation ratios, I'm trying to recover the. I give in the, what I have in the top of my head, but now they are looking. There are two specific sites that have six and six. I remember, so that the other ones are quite. Look, I have them in front of me. Two of them that have a more significant ratios, plus Europa 14 that has six units cancelled, and Arbaizenea that has six units cancelled. The third one with significant ratio of the cancellations is Cañada Homes, that has three of them, and the other ones are quite split between, I would say, the Basque Country and Catalonia. These are and basically both regions. But two different in Plaza Europa, very clear. What we have tried is to emphasize to help them to cancel. Some of them even have gone to our new tower. So some of them have changed, are cancelled in our Tower 1 to go to Tower 2, okay? And we have helped them. See, in Plaza Europa, it's a 16% HPA obtained in 2018. And basically, I don't have in front of me, but I will check and we send you when this, when they took place and when they were cancelled. I don't have the data, but Juan is taking notes and sending to you. But basically, what we are seeing is that it's basically they will take an average of 6 months, 6 to 8 months. But don't take for granted the exact data. But I would say North and Catalonia, the two with more level of cancellations, we are in Plaza Europa and Arbaizenea, both of them have had all our help to happen. And the more, I would say, natural events, usually, and this is probably Spanish-oriented, it's a couple that they get annoyed and they don't marry. This is the most natural event. If it's true or not, I don't know, but this is what they explain to us, okay? But we will give you this data exactly with the data that it happened, the data that it canceled, and the exact number for you. In connection with the delays, Good point. Okay, and the only one that has need, I mean, we have one thing that it's, I think, I'm proud of it. Okay, let me, it's our Neinor experience concept that we have never dedicated a lot of time to it, but you know that our clients have access to our website, and they have, they are seeing and monitoring how the works keep going, and they have permanent access to it. They can even see the works on site. Okay, this has helped a lot because we are sending every month a letter to the client explaining exactly where we are. Okay, so it's not a surprise for the client with the delays. And any whenever we have visibility that it's going to be a delay on the license, they know it. And we are now even in sometimes the most evident is La Cañada in the south. We are even obviously telling them that if they want to cancel, more than happy. There has been one site in Catalonia, it's Badalona. You remember Badalona, that was one of the major headaches that we have had in the company, that delivery is taken at the end of the year. And there has been 16 clients with a lawyer that are trying to say that they have the right to a compensation because it was initially planned in June, okay? This has been the case. We are managing it. I think that they are 16, more than the clients is the lawyer, trying to take advantage. And we are being very clear because we have been fooling with information during the whole process. But this case is the only one that I have in the top of my head. Right? And regarding the CapEx, Jordi?
We have a budget for this year, 2018, for an amount of 380 million euros of CapEx. This is the number that we have.
No, sorry, my question really was on the in terms of the timelines, the months that you are really budgeting of the time taken to actually construct and finish construction. Is there any revision to those timelines?
No, I mean, we were not really. I think we continue budgeting. I think it's very clear on the contract from this 14 to 18 months. The banks are budgeted as they are paying our certificates. So, no, it's not going. We are not having headaches. We continue being 14, if less than 15 units, to 17, 18 months in the ones, and there are no changes to that.
Okay, thank you.
We'll take our next question from Alvaro Soriano from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just three quick follow-up questions, if I may. The first one on pre-sales. On 2020, on the 4,000 units targeted, which level of 2020 pre-sales should we expect by the end of this year, of 2018? And when we should see the run rate in terms of pre-sales, if we assume 3,500 units delivered at run rate, that implies that every quarter you should sell around or pre-sell around 875 units, and so far you are pre-selling 300. And then the second follow-up question is on the debt. Can we expect the bridge loan to be repaid in the first year or in the second year before August 2017? And then on the last land, on the strategic land, can you walk through us the main assumptions to arrive the 28% gross margin? Is fully locked that margin, and which are the assumptions in terms of price growth you've taken into account, and also how can move the NAV of the company going forward? Thank you.
Okay, very good questions regarding pre-sales. Okay. Yes, Jordi Cesar. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get this question regarding your point. No, what should be the level of coverage at the end of this year? No, regarding the revenues that will come in 2020, this would be around 30%, slightly above, but around 30%. No, remember at the IPO that we said slightly below 40%, 40%. No, this 8-7% below is because, as Juan is commenting, we are trying to smooth the sales curve. Once we have the 30% level initially, once we put the first euro in the construction, so this is actually the reason to smooth this level.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first question.
Bridge loan.
Regarding the bridge loan, we are assuming this year to repay the amount that should be above 75 million euros. This is what the contract says. So the remaining part, the 75 million euros, should be repaid next year, in 2019.
Mid next year, no?
Being next year.
Okay. And the P&L of the strategic land, basically the assumptions on the HPA. So we should zoom in land per land. Okay. Obviously, we have the lands in Barcelona and the land in Madrid. These lands have assumptions of HPA. The answer is yes. So we are assuming HPA in the range of 3%, okay, 3.5%. The other one is in Bilbao. We are assuming limited HPA, although it will have a lot. I think we are assuming 1.5% in the assumption of the Bilbao land plot, and then we have Marbella, okay. In the Marbella assumption, we have, I would say, 3.5% HPA assumption on it. We don't like to see it as pure HPA. We like to see our assumptions, but if you want to bring that to HPA, that would be a first reaction to the gross margin. What we can try to do is try to put the P&L, because we are speaking about a significant number of land plots, but we can try to put a split, the P&L in land, capex, just to write to the gross margin, and that you can have a color on it, and Juan will send it to you asset per asset, or in a manner that helps you to understand it better, okay?
Thank you. Just one quick follow-up on the first one on pre-sales. It is healthy to assume that by the end of the year you intend to have 40% of N plus 2 pre-sale, when by the end of 2017 you had 60% of N plus 2 pre-sale, meaning 2019 pre-sales. It seems to me like I try to figure what is the sustainable pre-sale N plus 2 run rate.
I think the number, the exact number, I think that the level of pre-sales that we should have in the future should be lower than the one that we have had until today. Okay?
Pretty clear.
Absolutely. I think that today, I think that it made a lot of sense. It's at the risking that we want to have. I think it's very healthy to have good levels of pre-sales. But the level of pre-sales that we have of today from 18 and 19, I think that for the future, yes, one of the key actions plans that we have is that we want to have a lower level of pre-sales because the market is helping us, okay? And we have a very good news every time that we have a cancellation. Right? So for the future, I think that the assumption that you have, the answer, let's put that in exact numbers, but the answer is yes. It's a correct thought and assumption. Right?
Pretty clear. Thank you very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now take our next question from Emily Biddulph of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. I have two questions, please. The first one is just on the timing of deliveries again. I think in the presentations that you issued after full year results, it showed that 70% of completions for 2018 were due to come through in Q4, and for 2019, that figure was 50% in Q4. Is that figure still right? And if it is, do you continue to be comfortable that those will actually fall into the year that are expected to? And if there is any flex on there, how does that impact slide 14 and the cash generation? And my second question is, again, once again on slide 14, can I just clarify that I understand correctly that there isn't any movement in work in progress in that bridge because it's all debt financed, or actually is that included in one of the other lines? Is it effectively we're just looking at cash on a gross basis here, and actually there is incremental WIP to come through in 18 and 19 as well? Thank you.
Okay. Answer the second one, Jordi.
The second one is that we have all the contracts with the banks, no? To financing the whole capex. So obviously, if there is any potential delay, any potential postponement, we don't have any impact from that perspective. Everything is fine.
Yeah. So at the end of it, yes. The answer is yes.
And I say yes. Huh?
timing deliveries. It's true, 70% it's in plant in Q4, and 50% of next year it's plant in Q4. Hopefully the situation for the future, I will try to show more cushions. For 2020, I can promise that I will have more cushions, because the situation has been as it has been. I am naked here, and you have in front of you each and every site that I plan to deliver in 18 and 19. There's going to be intern work, ordinary cost of business work on it. What I can say is regarding 18, honestly, the visibility is really high. I can have an issue because a certificate comes 1 week later and I have to go to the notary in January 15 rather than in December, but I'm really comfortable. It's not going to be an issue and it will happen. Regarding 19, everything is contracted. The plans agreed with each and every construction company says very clear that it's a delivery that should come in 19, and we are good on that. I mean, having said that, intense management, it should happen, it will happen. Hopefully, every quarter you will be able to monitor it and you will be able to see our capacity. And the answer regarding yes, anyone that at the end of the year, if it does not happen in December, it happens in January. Not big deal from a cash flow perspective, but they will have 1, 2, or 3 months delay. But I would say, in that sense, this is what is it. There are not cushions. This is what is going to happen, and you are going to see our execution capacity, and you will be able to monitor that. Having said that, my big headache, here we have three big headaches, okay? The biggest headache is the license, and this is out. I have the construction companies on that, okay? Then comes foundations. Okay, that you don't have issues on foundations. Apparently, everything looks good. Okay, then you have the structure that it's announced, and afterwards you have a lot of visibility. So I would say, monitoring each quarter where we are, we will be able to see if you have color in each and every of the 30-plus sites. But today, honestly speaking, I'm really comfortable with it, and I think that this company has the execution capacity for it. But cushions, honestly speaking, for the future, I will try to have some. It's not the case in 18 and 19.
Great, thank you. And sorry if I missed it, but the work in progress investment guidance for this year, what is it?
The budget, you mean?
The work in progress CapEx for this year.
Yeah, for the year, except sort of ex land, what is it at the moment? What's the guidance?
380 million euros. Is the budget for this year.
There are no further questions at this time.
Oh, okay. We just have one small question from the public that was on the webcast from studies from Westray. Juan, can you comment, like, for the 4,900 licenses that you have requested, what is the average time that you expect from the license application to the granting of the license?
You see, the average should be 6 months, okay, 6-7 months if we do a good job, and we are. I can promise that the intense management that we are doing and the hours that I dedicate to municipalities this year, it's big. So I think that we will bring. I'm seeing honestly. I'm happy. If this has helped for something, all the noise regarding licenses of our bad news is that I think that I'm seeing municipalities trying to help, they have understood that this is a deal, that this is a problem, that they need to react and that they need to be part of the solution. So I'm seeing municipalities much more helpful. And I think that we will be in that 6 months. That should be our average. This is an average. Afterwards, we will have headaches with some of them with 8, 10, and 12, but hopefully will be the least. And with these 5,500 units already, with these 5,000 today and 5,500 in a few months, I can have delays in 1,500 that will go to 21. So I'm comfortable. The average, I'm seeing it in 6 months, and hopefully, if it's not 6, it will be 7. But this is one of the clear goals that we have as a company and that we have as a sector, And one of the problems of the pros and the cons of being the first mover is that you are the first one facing these things, but hopefully this will help the whole sector to be more sensitive to this matter.
Very good. So that finishes all the questions we had. Thank you very much for participating in this. Operator, you can close the call now.